Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, very damp Thursday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201. Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at the website too, stevebick.com. And kind of catching up here a little bit because I just spent a lot longer than I expected or wanted to with guys that, I don't know, Formica countertop, and I'll tell you, I getting this bathroom slash closet finished is kind of a little bit of an arduous process. So they came in with the template, you know, with how this works. Yeah, they take the measurement. They're going to put the it's not for the sink already sitting there, the vanity. But there's like one, two, three spots where there's going to be like a little bench seat and a couple of other counters. So they come, they do the measurement, and we're getting close, I guess. I don't know. It's not going to be, certainly not going to be done before I leave for a month on the road. But so they do all the measurement, and I figure, okay, good. Well, this will put a bow on it, wrap everything. And they said, all right, we'll put the order in, and it'll be 6 weeks. Wait, 6 weeks? What are you talking about? 6 weeks. Well, you picked a special order color. Unbelievable. It's a Formica counter. It's a Formica. Come on. So they came back, and they said, well, we got, you know, these are the stock. We can have these in 2 weeks. So, oh, okay. So then we went through the hoops for that. And anyway, so I had a bunch of things I needed to get done, including finishing the write-up for the Aqueduct Pick 6. And I promptly lost a good half hour to, you know, to looking up, looking at, you know, let's see, Black Accolade or, I don't know, all these. We picked a very dark, it was kind of a dark color. That was going to pick up something in the shower. I just want this to be done. Yeah, that's the, and I haven't expanded on this at all. One of the great parts about being in Vegas was I got to take a shower, because this is an old house. This house was built in 1848. There's been one shower in the house. There's two clawfoot bathtubs. One that's quite nice and one that's, you know, simple. So we, Gene and I, haven't had a shower, an operating shower, for now, it's 3 weeks, essentially. So, you know, the mornings are mayhem here. She's got to get ready for school. She go to one of those places that you can bring your dog, right? You can power wash your dog at the car wash, right? Have you seen this? This is very funny, actually. You put your dog in there, and you know, it's like the Jetsons. That's all right, Rorge. I also very pleased last night. Tina. Bowed out early, and because she's, it looks like she's fighting a cold, and I'm still on the other problem, of course, coming back from Vegas, is that you end up on West Coast time. So, you know, if you're there a week, we were there 6 days, right? So, you know, 6 days is enough to, you know, turn you into, you know, Tom Snyder, you know, you're up till the wee hours by comparison. So I, you know, I've been going to bed now suddenly 11:30 because it's 8 o'clock Pacific. So last night, Groundhog Day was on repeatedly, which was appropriate. And so I got to watch, because she won't watch it. She hates it. I don't know if she doesn't like Bill Murray. I don't know. But as you know, it's one of my absolute favorites. And so it was delightful to be able to sit and watch it without interruption. And then it's funny, when I came up to bed, it had come on whatever channel she had on. She has to sleep with the television on. This is a fairly new phenomenon. And not recent. I mean, ever since we were together, she needs the television on, you know, low to fall asleep. I never had done that. So now I'm used to it. But when I came upstairs, it just so happened whatever channel she had on also had Groundhog Day. So when I got in bed and she sort of woke up, she goes, "Oh, we're not, change it." I said, "Tina, it was on when I came up here." "No, you put it on." "No." Whatever you had, it came on just on its own magically because it's Groundhog Day. Again. So, anyway, all of this to say is I'm a little behind in every aspect. I do have most of the Aqueduct Pick 6 written up. It's going to be wet. It's going to be, you can count on that. We're getting, the snow is gone here. And I'm sure the rain downstate is going to put a dent and drill down the snow there as well. So, I would expect the muddy or at least wet fast or sealed or something along those lines. We'll keep an eye on conditions for later, about 10:30 or so, when Andy will send out the changes, and we'll see if there's any changes, because the ticket building. The more I chewed on this, there are a couple of horses, you know, you may want to cover, and you probably are well served today to wait as long as possible. You know, if you have to put your tickets in early, some people do. I understand, but I get it. But I would see what the conditions are. First race is at 12:50, 1:20, and 1:50. So you've got, you know, an hour and change to watch those first three races, which are, as I said yesterday, they're all a mile before the pick six sequence starts. It's a good card. It's a good Thursday card. And on that topic, actually, part of what's going on today, particularly the end of the show, it's funny, a couple of magical confluences occurred. Rich Ang will be on tomorrow. We'll get some opinions from Rich for the weekend, and we'll also formally thank Rich for the great support and contribution at Bally's. But that opened up, you know, the third hour. I've been trying to run down David Harrison too. I want you to hear from him. If you didn't hear David with us in Vegas, you know, if you haven't, and Casey continues to edit up and clean up the weekend. I mean, you know, we had close to 20 hours of audio. We still have to get David on, so I'm trying to chase him down. Anyway, when word came that Rich had an appointment today that he can't miss, so he begged off today, and I said, "How about tomorrow?" He said, "Fine." So Rich Ang tomorrow, and that's good, because you've got a nice card at Santa Anita. You've got three stakes, and of course New York, Tampa, Gulfstream, Santa Anita, your principal weekend action. The Baiacoa at Oaklawn. And in fact, good news for those that love the cross country. I'm sure we'll do this with Nick tomorrow. The cross country is back. Cross country Pick Five makes its seasonal debut. The Endeavor and the Tampa. The Endeavor and the Tampa Bay Stake. 10 and 12 horses, respectively. They started out. Then there's a first-level allowance at Aqueduct. Then the Withers. And there's 10 and 11 horses in those races. And then the Biacoa. So the Endeavor, the Tampa Bay, a good allowance. The Withers, which we'll talk about in a minute, and the Biacoa, which we've touched on just a hair because of a couple of guests that have horses in it. So when we talk to Rich and I'm sure Jay Pribman tomorrow, the Thunder Road, the Santa Monica, and the San Pascal Saturday at Santa Anita spread through the going off as the first, sixth, and eighth. The biggest card is at Gulfstream, where you've got the Holy Bull, the Swale, the Swedish Chant, the Forward Gal, and the Kitten's Joy. So, lots on that front. There's also a maiden race. We'll see what's going on there, particularly the debut. And this horse did not come up with Todd Pletcher on Tuesday, but Palm Island makes the debut. This is the Uncle Mo that was a $1.3 million purchase at the Gulfstream sale, Phasic Tipton, last year. Todd training, and this is Coolmore and team. There's a lot going on in here, actually. This number of firsters. George Weaver's got Nitrous Channel. This is a Nyquist for Randy Hill and the Reeves. This was a $625,000 purchase. Todd's also got a Unified Colt in here for My Purple Haze. Actually, excuse me, that's Terry Pompey. Todd's other horse is for Backy Isbister, Stay Restless, an Empire Maker out of a Salt Lake mare. And Fausto Gutierrez has got the St. George Homebred by Heartspun called Octzingo. Wow. I don't envy Peter Aiello with this horse. Akatzingo. Wow. Octzingo. Akatzingo. Got to look that up, see what that means. So, obviously, a heady maiden group going as the third Gulfstream on Saturday. There's also a boys race long on the grass. That goes as the sixth. A few firsters in there, including a Warfront from Claiborne. Clement. Patrick being Cone's got a Cairo Prince. that Cairo Prince video surfaced again yesterday. The very funny one with him in his stall going crazy because he's not getting attention. It's very funny. I've seen it. I don't know. It came from early in January, and every time it pops up on the back up on somebody's thread, somebody's feed, it makes you laugh. The Lowe's. I've got a $610,000 Malibu Moon from Katie Rich, my Romeo Lima. The Clement Claiborne is called Remote. Warfront out of a Galileo mare. So that gets things rolling. But the Swale, six-pack. In the Swale, Pletcher Mott, Safi Joseph, Michael Yates, Brad Cox, Dale Romans, and Lee Einsiedler with an Mike Francesa with High Oak. Spiked a fever. I don't know if you saw this a couple of days ago, but spiked a fever and just enough to knock him out of the swale. So they're going to, he had absolutely expected to show up here, but, you know, and have the, you know, the good start to the season, ideally, you know, 7 furlongs. Instead, feels like the Gotham might make some sense for him rather than a two-turn event. So they'll see. Gotham, a possibility for, you know, as opposed to the Fountain, you know, where you got to go two turns in the first start. At least the Gotham, you know, it's a great way to tighten up and get ready for, you know, the big opportunity. This group in the swale, kind of looking, the group that came together for this, it feels like something, you know, other than, I suppose my prankster, the Lowe's with that Into Mischief colt that you saw at the in the Champagne was a distant fourth. Probably the most accomplished in here. My prankster, Graphic Detail for Mott and Larry Best, Practical Joke colt that broke the maiden at Belmont in November and tried the Mucho Macho Man. Of a Revolution, Safi Joseph, has been okay, been solid, and actually has, you know, kind of ticked forward with each start. Was second in the Limehouse, three shorter sprints, and now goes 7. Probably one of the choices in here, certainly. You've got Yates with that Dean Delivers for Stonehedge, one of their homebreds, Cajun Breeze. It's amazing how productive they are with, you know, what feels like, you know, fairly meat and potato stock. They've been doing it for years. In Dreams for Cox, a Frosted Colt, coming off an allowance win, broke his maiden for $150,000 at Churchill the closing week, and then came to Oaklawn and won an allowance. That was that allowance with Chasing Time. The second, I guess it was the second or third. Yeah, probably the was the third week of. Third weekend of the Oakland action. This is one of Rupp Racing's. And this horse has been moving forward. Boy, talk about steady progress. 48 buyer, 53 buyer, 85 buyer, 91 buyer. Out of a More Than Ready mare. This looks like a nice horse in Dreams. And Mr. Bauma for Dale. And the Albaz. This is a Candy Ride. Coming out of the allowance that produced Trademark and then Red Run came back and won. So the 3-year-olds going short. Then you got the Kitten's Joy. Has got some hopeful step-up types. Coinage comes back here for Mark Cassie to make the 3-year-old debut out of the okay effort. Got tired late in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. But everybody looked ordinary pretty much in the wake of modern games, right? You got the Dania Beach winner for Todd, for Mandy Pope. That's the Medaglia d'Oro colt out of AP Sonata, that Grand Sonata. Grand Motion for Eclipse. Speaking Scott, a Mr. Speaker, last seen just missing to Red Danger, who is in this. Red Danger drew wide for Silverton Hill and Brian Lynch. Nice group in the Kitten's Joy, the Forward Gal, the 3-year-old Phillies going 7/8, corresponding to the Swale. The Jessamine runner-up, Diamond Wow. This is a very typical pattern for Patrick B. and Cone. Little turf, little dirt, little turf, little dirt. Diamond Wow for the Diamond Racing Club. This is a homebred of theirs, actually. Looking at Lucky Philly that won the Our Dear Peg and was a good second stretching out on the grass in the Jessamine. So she's either starting her season going this 7/8, and when the Our Dear Peg actually went 7/8 at Gulfstream when it came off the turf. So She looks nice. You got a recent maiden winner from Todd. Gratitude from Mike Rapoli. Calumet Bread OBS purchase by Dialed In. And Shug with that nice radio days that will be favored. Dylan Davis coming down to ride. Dylan's riding for us tomorrow in New York. This is Joe Allen, the Gunrunner filly that you may have forgotten, but won at first asking at Belmont in the slop and then came back and absolutely romped at Aqueduct first weekend in December. Won off by 883 buyer. So she's the... And the nice thing about her is, as precocious as she was at two, not a filly that, you know, demanded the lead. It gets us to the Swedish Chant. These are the three-year-old fillies on the grass, corresponding to the Kitten's Joy. Nice. This is a nice group. A nice full field. It's going to be a fun card. I'm looking forward to talking to Mike Welch and to Marty. We finally get to Marty tomorrow. mixed bag here. A little bit of everything. It's a well-matched field, actually. This doesn't appear to have a standout. I suppose, to some degree, Tim Hamm with the Blazing Meadows Sienna bred and Sienna part owner. The Will Take Charge filly, Battle Charge, came down to Tampa and started, kind of started the winter at Tampa in December with an allowance win. Had been second in the Presque Isle Debutante. She's okay. Opalina for Rod Rodriguez. Mott's got the Godolphin, first out winner that then tried the Moiselle. She moves to the grass. This is Nostalgic, Medaglia d'Oro homebred. Graham with a Wertheimer. Nice. Medaglia d'Oro filly here, too. Out of the Distorted Humor Mare. This was a winner on the Tapita. And returns to the grass. Debuted on the grass, going a mile and a 16th. Ambitus. Nice group. That now, what you've been waiting for. It was a big buildup. The 2 3-year-old events, of course, the Withers and the Holy Bull. The Holy Bull, Mo Donegal, as mentioned by Todd, McPeak with Tis the Bomb. How about, simplification? Antonio Sano, and this horse has not gotten the mention and the buildup to some degree that you would think he deserves. That performance in the Mucho Macho Man was impressive. And when he broke his maiden, in those restricted Florida maiden races, you don't look too closely when he had the big fig, the 92 buyer. But then he came back and backed it up two starts later with that Mucho Macho Man. So simplification, this is obviously the major class test. He's a Not This Time out of the Candy Ride Mare. Tammy Bobo and simplification. Javier Castellano back aboard off the Mucho Macho Man win. We mentioned Michael Yates and Stonehedge. They've got the other Cajun Breeze in here, Cajun's Magic. Second in the In Reality and second in the Affirmed. Did win the Dr. Fager in all the great Florida Stallion Series races. Mo Donegal, we mentioned. Mott sends Larry Best's Galt. This, of course, the Songbird Sib by Medaglia d'Oro. Broke the maiden. On Boxing Day, is going to have to speed up, obviously. But you might as well get a read now. Speaking of reads, how about Butchie Reed? Yeah, Eloquist in here for Cash's King and LC. And, of course, mentioning Cassius King and the recent pensioning of Fleet Alex the other day. We talked about Eliquis, the Nyquist coal, out of the Remsen, and you know, where he was a, you know, he was a bigger price, but there, I think there was still some anticipation that he was going to be, you know, step forward a little bit, and he's kind of went into neutral off the maiden win, which came at Parks in October. But they, even though, you know, modest purchase, actually, $70,000 yearling, but there's some real, you know, after that maiden breaker, there was some murmuring that this was a nice horse. So Butchie's had him down at Gulfstream, anxious to see some clock reports and hear from Mike Welch. McPeak with that Tis the Bomb off the second behind Modern Games. This is the one for Phoenix Thoroughbreds, the Hit at a Bomb colt. Brian Hernandez Jr. comes to town to ride. How about Rusty with the BBN Racing Hard Spun out of that nice Smart Strike mare Zinze spin wheel? A very nice maiden win on closing day at Churchill in November. And with, you know, with a little step forward, he'd be all right in here. White Abario as well for Safi Joseph, last seen in the Kentucky Jockey Club, third to Smile Happy in Classic Causeway. And finally, Giant Game, Dale. Boy, Dale drew outside here too. Giant Game for Albaugh, and third, of course, in the Juvenile at 22-1. And they're excited. This bred by Alan Poindexter. Not an Iowa bred, though. This is a Kentucky bred. Giant's Causeway out of the More Than Ready mare. $500,000 select sale. Yearling July sale for West Point and the Albaugh's. Giant Game on the outside with Louis Saez. Joe Talamo had ridden him all three of his starts previously. So there you go. There's your Holy Bull as we get started on the road to the Florida Derby. And Fountain of Youth to follow, and the Florida Derby. Always fun. So big day at Gulfstream. Very nice card, actually, following up from last week. And actually, you know what? This, in terms of the stakes, this may actually offer more opportunity for some prices because, boy, other than Wolfie's Dynaghost, there was not much to inspire anybody that, you know, that was looking to beat short price favorites. That was not so easy. Not a great avenue to pursue, as it turned out, right? So in New York, and as part of that cross country, we are going to get to enjoy not just the Withers, but they're also going to run the Toboggan too. The Toboggan got rescheduled, and pretty sure the same field come together. Did they lose one? I think they lost one. I think there were six. But Happy Medium is going to be a very short price favorite for Michelle Devon and Samantha Siegel, certainly. In there. Yeah, I'm pretty sure there was. I think I deleted what I had, but You do have the Fall Highway winner as well. Hopeful Treasure, certainly, for Michael Catalano as well. But the focus, the excitement's going to be involving the Withers. And let's glance at this as well before I do some other things. And actually, I will not only look at it, I will print it because I hadn't printed it yet. That Constitution lawyer, and Ray, I didn't get a chance to talk to Ray Handel yesterday you know, about anything. I had kind of hoped we were going to talk about, you know, things like his horses. But we focused on Jose Mejia, and what a wonderful response. Everybody, I saw a number of names I recognize as listeners, and also, you know, Dick Powell gave a really generous support to the Mejia fund, and we've got another difficult situation to bring up in a minute as well. That's on the agenda. So, Constitution lawyer coming off that maiden win and a very solid race in terms of how it came back. 85 buyer in that win. So, Ray Handel for Parentime Thoroughbreds in West Point. Constitution colt took three starts to break the maiden. This is a serious horse. It's going to save all the ground in the, you know, the Withers a mile and an eighth. So that's some valuable real estate. Mike Maker brings Grantham to town. Has been transferred over from the Turfway base. Broke the maiden at Turfway. Comes back to dirt. Had debuted on dirt at Churchill. Grantham. 71 buyer out of that mile and a 16th win. So went from 7 furlongs on the dirt to 2 turns on the Tapita and broke the maiden, but probably has to take another step forward going back to dirt. This is for the Wyckoffs. A declaration of war out of an Archmare. It kind of feels like this one's future is on the green stuff. Smarten Up, Alfredo Velasquez, second in the Jerome to Courvoisier, who's in this field. This is the American Freedom out of a Smarty Jones mare. And actually, I just here's a little note. This is a Florida bred from the Van Landing docks. And I don't know if you saw that that Francis Van Landing dock is going to succeed Michael Farrell as the chairman of OBS. I saw that in TDN, noticing the Van Landing docks. They do a great job, Francis and Barbara. Gilded Age in here for Mott, recent maiden winner, November. Been working right along at Payson, ships up. You know, usually sometimes you wonder about, you know, you're sending horses from the cold to the warm. You don't have to worry about sending them from the warm to the cold here, because it's been just as cold in Florida as it's been up here. So Gilded Age, he comes up and from Payson, where he's been working steadily, a series of half miles. Kendrick picks up the mount. This is a Medaglia d'Oro out of Bernardini mare, Angela Renee. Nice stake horse. This is for Don Alberto and Grandview. Courvoisier is mentioned. This is the Hill and Dale and Partners Tappet colt that won the Jerome, coming out of the maiden win. Maiden win was at a mile and an eighth at Aqueduct. So has got a perfect 2 for 2 at the Big A and perfect at 9 furlongs. Courvoisier with Ruben Silvera picking up the mount with Jose Ortiz back in Florida. Unbridled Bomber for Ryerson, Jim Ryerson. Jimmy sends out this this upstart colt that was 4th in the Jerome, beaten 2 lengths, coming out of the maiden win. And just fired a bullet, actually, getting ready for this. Need to Worry for Harold Wiley. Coming up from Philly. This is an Algorithms colt. Un Ocho for Tony Dutrow. New York bred. A Leia Band for Cypress Creek. This was, oh, yeah, this, yeah, we talked about this horse. This was the horse that was boosted out of Louisiana. Ricky Corville. They sent it up to Tony Dutrow. Leia Band Gelding out of an AP Indy mare. So you would think you would think that the distance is not going to be an issue. Working steadily out of the New York Stallion Series try. The return of early voting in this race. And maiden winner at first asking for Chad and Seth Klarman. The gun runner out of the Tisno, now mayor, $200,000 Keeneland Yearling. Early voting. Jose Ortiz. Actually, I said Ortiz, assumed Ortiz was down, had, you know, he'd gone down to Florida, but he has come back for this card, and I'm going to guess specifically for early voting. So instead of, that's interesting, instead of riding for Kelly Breen and Courvoisier, and you can understand this, riding here for Chad, riding back on early voting. Mr. Jefferson. For Larry Johnson, a homebred of his, a Constitution. For Mike Trombetta. And Eric Cancella aboard. And finally, Cook Creek, Jerry O'Dwyer, comes back to New York with the third-place finisher out of the Jerome. Second in the Nashua. And a winner of that Rocky run at Delaware. So he's graded stake placed and a stake winner. It's an interesting Uncle Mo out of a Bernardini mare. For Cheyenne Stable. So that's your Withersfield. We've got two very good Derby Trail preps. And, of course, we'll get Twin Spires leaderboard tomorrow. Make sure, you know, even if you hadn't signed up yet, you can. There's still plenty of time to get involved because the points in the leaderboard correlate to the points on the road to Derby. So there you go. You're up to speed a little bit with the most notable, certainly with the most notable stakes that were drawn yesterday. Tampa 2, I mentioned, the Endeavor and the Tampa Bay came up great. There were 10 in the Endeavor and an overflow field of 13, 1 AE in that Tampa Bay stake. It's a nice card there, too, down at Tampa. All right. So that's that. Couple of things. Let me flesh out the rest. Tony will join us in a little bit. We couldn't talk to him last week. He was tied up. Sean Clancy joins us. This is horseracing.com/Saratoga special. It was Joe's turn. It was Joe Clancy's turn. But he's got some sort of IT meeting. The featured conversation today, Rob Masiello. And this was very interesting. It sort of bubbled up from out of, not out of nowhere, but it bubbled up out of a out of a conversation that I don't do a lot of, how can we characterize this? I don't typically... On Twitter in particular, I'm not one to get agitated when it comes too often to. I mean, I will push myself away two or three times typically, and when my gut reaction is to provide a you know, irked response to things. But I got to tell you, yesterday, I came across a comment that was a response to a thread start taking what felt like gratuitous shots at NTRA and Tom Rooney and just a curious and unnecessary constitutes an attack, and I responded actually to one of the responses, which was, well, what has NTRA ever done? Well, and you, if you've listened here, we've documented pretty well, I think, what NTRA has, what their work is and what it's done. And you also have heard, probably more here than anywhere else, about how, you know, the industry has, you know, not necessarily been as supportive themselves of the work that NTRA is charged with. And despite that, NTRA and its staff plugs away, and in answering the question to someone that certainly should have known the answer without me having to provide it, it's funny that the people that take the initial attacks and take the pot shots, when they're then answered with snark and with what could be, I guess, you know, thought of as condescension, then they're offended. Why so condescending? Why? Because you started with your tone, and most often my effort in my responses and these kinds of things is to be very, you know, I try to just net that out. But I wasn't really in the mood for that yesterday, and to net it out. So if, yeah, so I and actually in reading back, it wasn't all that. I really wasn't all that condescending at all. It matched the tone of the, you know, of the original comments. But having, you know, having just spent a number of days in the company of, you know, Keith Chamblin and Michelle Ravencraft and Holly Short and Casey and all the staff, and people that you don't see out front, and Tom Rooney, of course, had, you know, he had to be at Gulfstream for the Saturday card, and then he came to Vegas for you know, for the big finale, the semifinals and finals. And having been with them all week and knowing how hard it, how much work goes in and how many, you know, when you're coordinating, in this case, 530 players, and all the technical, you know, bringing together the hotel staff and bringing together everything that, you know, goes into this, I find it really insulting that people, you know, people who aren't involved in anything that necessarily that they do, frankly, that aren't really involved in anything that the industry is trying to do on a going basis, just feel that they can just make summary judgments and just send out their, you know, their attacks and their missives into an echo chamber that reverberates and then, you know, is meant basically to, you know, to invite you know, a crescendo of criticism and sneering. It makes me sick. And the people that are doing the work, the day-to-day work, that have their assignments and are trying to be the underpinning, you know, of industry mechanisms, they don't deserve to be, you know, just collectively dismissed and attacked. It's so inappropriate and unfair. And if I lash out on the occasion, I'm sorry. But you know, to the question, what has NTRA ever done to benefit or build the business? Are you kidding? You got to be kidding. Because specifically, something we documented first with Peggy Hendershot, who worked for a decade in D.C. educating congressmen about the benefit of changing the withholding guidelines. Okay? I mean, literally hand-to-hand combat with congressmen and their staffs. And then the, you know, the clever repackaging to go to the Treasury Department and get them to change, instead of having a change accomplished through legislation, the Alpine Group, the lobbying team, Greg Means and his partner, they rethought and they refocused and found this clever way to get the Treasury Department to change the rules. And the fact that 90% of signers of IRS, of what had been IRS signers, disappeared starting in 2017. In fact, Paul Matisse, who saw the exchange, wrote to me and said, if the NTRA never did a single other thing, if over the course of their existence, the only thing they got done and achieved was that, the changing of that tax guideline, then there are a overwhelming success. However, in addition to that, there's something that nobody ever seems to bring up. And it's so unseen and unnoticed. But you might recall that when you first started to fund your ADW account, you couldn't use your credit cards. You know who got that done? Who got that changed? So that you could use your credit card and earn cash back on, for those of you that have credit cards that kick you back percentages, so that you basically are getting your own rebate in addition to whatever rebate you might be getting from your ADW. The NTRA did that. And I think now, three of the five biggest banks in the country that at one time wouldn't allow deposits on the credit cards, three, I think, out of five, and I, if I'm not mistaken, they're very close to getting the biggest whale in this arena too. And no one, you know, no one ever saw that happen. No, and it just was one of those very, you know, quiet accomplishments. Then there was the matter of the Safety and Integrity Alliance, and this is a benefit that you can't even measure because it's not something you've seen, because you don't know about the standardization of the, you know, the warning system, the lights that go on when a horse gets loose that weren't on every racetrack. I mean, at least the racetracks that have signed on and got involved. Not everybody has done it, and you can't, you know, you can try to hold their feet to the fire, but you know, the standardization of safety rails, of breakaway safety rails. And the, I mean, the, you know, the list of stuff. I mean, it's pages and pages. You know, Steve Cook has moved on, obviously, to the Stronach Group. But you know, the work that Steve did with the Safety Integrity Alliance and trying to, you know, get a standardized approach to a laundry list of things involving safety. There's no way to know in terms of equine life and human life. When it comes to jocks and everything else, everybody else that's in the harm's way of horses, there's no way to know how that benefited. And again, it's something that's imperceivable. You, that it's not, you know, There isn't some sort of a billboard that advertises it. So for those, and I loved when I brought this out, I loved the response. Oh, I wouldn't necessarily, you're maybe giving them more credit than, no, I'm not giving them more credit. The people that just love to shit on every aspect of the industry and every organ involved, you're not doing us any good. If you think you're some sort of a watchdog, you're not a watchdog. You're an asshole. Period. Thanks to Pat Costello, just brought up another point. The change in the depreciation tables. You want to go through life, and you want to. And yet, the thing about this that, and I'm, there's so much about this, and the reason I'm in a particularly angry mood, which I'm not going to, I don't really care to get into because I'll get particularly upset. But if you don't bet, if you don't breed, if you don't own, I don't care. If you're somebody that is not contributing, and it does not have an ongoing interest and commitment to making the game better and to being involved in it, but you think you could sit on high and take pot shots at everybody and everything that goes on. Well, Sean Clancy's going to be on with us later. Sean, when I have this discussion with him, he says, you know, just because they've got keyboards and they type this stuff, it's harmful. It creates an atmosphere that is so negative and pervades everybody's thinking that it provides this sense that things are hopeless and unchangeable and all going circling the drain. Drop dead. It's unbelievable. You think that everybody that is raising horses, preparing them for sales coming up, for everything, I mean, everybody that is preparing horses for races, that is breeding, that is, you know, is getting phone calls at 4 o'clock in the morning that your foal is dead. I mean, what is wrong with you people? I'm telling you, if you don't bet, if you're not involved hands-on, why should anybody be concerned about your negative impression? I'll try to be better about it, but it's very hard to stay motivated and to stay, you know, upbeat when, you know, it's a nonstop assault on the senses. You know, not to mention, you know, people that are working, that actually are involved, that do have skin in the game, that are operating with their own self-interest paramount in their day-to-day decision-making. You know, this is an organism as an industry that is codependent. Everybody is mutually reliant on each other. All of this basically was a long-winded way of coming around to talk about Rob Masiello joining us to talk about handle growth and trying to understand where it's coming from. And Rob wrote a fascinating. Rob responded to something that I had said, you know, basically about the, you know, about what the NTRA did with the withholding. And, you know, their estimate had been that over the course of, you know, however you measure this kind of thing, that it could provide up to 7% in churn, in you know, money going back to players and then being rebad and et cetera. And then that, you know, shakes off more tax revenue. And, you know, that was the whole challenge of helping, you know, at the time, congressmen understand why it was beneficial to change the withholding. How can we make more tax revenue if we have less tax revenue? Because they're going to bet more if you leave it in their pocket, et cetera, et cetera. So Rob said, Rob had obviously been preparing to write this kind of a thread on Twitter, and he had accrued a bunch of things, you know, discussing handle over the last couple of years. And of course, it's very, very difficult to understand what is happening and where it came from and that kind of a thing. But Rob thinks he's got some conclusions, or some, you know, some potential conclusions that he's come to. And so he's going to join us about 11:15, and we'll let him kind of walk through. I also sent the information, his thread, to Maury Wolf, and you know, certainly in terms of the economies and the you know, the way in which the wagering comes in its different guises. Maury Wolf is as learned and has as much of a institutional knowledge as anybody. And so Maury said he would go through some things too and provide. And Maury, of course, particularly when it comes to the computer wagering, computer assisted wagering side, you know, Maury was way ahead of that. So I don't know if he'll be able to contribute today, but he said he would go through and get a feel as well. And he was going to go through Rob's stuff too. So Rob Masiello, one of the brightest minds involved in the game. And I think there's actually some very, you know, as I was just railing, there's quite a few things that his, you know, his comments lead to, which is essentially the core product. And the core product has all the elements flowing through it that I just touched on. The owners, breeders, bettors, horsemen. That's the, you know, that's the, you know, the key, the four elements. You know, we need more owners, we need more horses produced, we need more players that bet on an improved, optimized cards and betting product that has been, you know, carefully cultivated with an eye on the takeout and on, you know, optimizing field size and, you know, very carefully crafted so that the bettors have the best possible opportunities. It's all, and if that means a little less racing or more less races and, you know, more, what, however this has to be done. But if you have more horses, you got better field size. We got more owners, we got more horses bred. I mean, it's all interconnected. And that essentially all ties back to what I just was tearing my hair out over. So, owners, breeders, bettors, horsemen. And I suppose the tracks too. We got to get the tracks. Obviously, the bricks and mortar, and the people that make the game go. Take a break here. Tony Black and Sean Clancy, Rob Vassiello, and more. Hour two at the races after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 388-4643.
Want to get your